Good morning. Whoa, everybody was waiting for me. Welcome to Ford River Community Chapel. We're glad you're here today on this beautiful day. Have you ever witnessed something amazing? Something that you just had to tell other people about? There's things that I think of times in my life, like when our son, youngest son, they won the state championship in Indiana for playing baseball. It was like, it was amazing. I mean, it was just, it was so fun to be part of that and to be in the, and celebrate it. And then just, and it was one of those things where you just had to tell people about it. Or the birth of our kids and the miracle of that and seeing your children born, and you just had to tell people about it. And it's like, you know, being a new dad, it's like, oh, you want to see pictures, and you want, oh, I got to tell you all about this, and all these things. The first time that I ever heard Deb sing was, that's how I met her, was when the first time that I ever heard her sing was, it was at the fraternity where I was part of when I was in college. And I've told people about that ever since. That's how we met, with her singing. Yesterday, there was another one of those events where we went to the Presbyterian Church for Jan Bell's mom's funeral. And just going in that church and seeing kind of, I love old churches, where you go into some place and it just feels holy, it feels sacred at times. And the beautiful stained glass windows and the way the altar is there and those kind of things. And you're sort of, you're like, I'm kind of in entering into the presence into God's place. Well, being part of, you know, going to that funeral and hearing yesterday, Deb praise God through her voice in that funeral was another one of those things that just brought me back to, that was amazing. I mean, I want to tell people about that, because it was just a powerful thing. I mean, and there's just moments in our lives that are like that. I was struck by the study that's in right now media about the Lord's Prayer that we went through, is that how we are told to pray our Father, and how powerful that is, that we're adopted into His family, the family of God, and then we can call him Father. And what's the natural response to that? Is, wow, that's amazing. I mean, that's incredible that God, the creator of the universe, would say that He wants me, little lowly sinful me, to be His son. And so the next phrase in the Lord's Prayer is, hallowed be His name. And hallowed is, I don't use that word very often. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not sure I'd know the last time I said hallowed. You know, except for the Lord's Prayer. I mean, but when you look at the Bible translations, that word hallowed is used in the King James, in the NIV, in the ESV, in the English Standard, in the ASV, all of those, they all use that same word, because they're like, well, we don't know how else to say it. And what it means is that God is sacred and holy. And, or in our words, or in words I use, it's amazing. I mean, He's just amazing, and He's perfect. And that, you know, it's something that is hard to even understand, about how perfect and holy He is. And that our job is to, when we say we're hallowing His name, is that it's for us then to tell people, other people, about that, as how amazing our God is. And we see it, we recognize that through His creation, but just also in the perfectness of the gospel message, of that, how we have are forgiven through the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, and accepting that. Today we're going to sing one of my favorite hymns, Holy, Holy, Holy. And it's an interesting word, that expression, holy, 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 is it, when you, in the Hebrew language, they don't have superlatives or things that attach the words to say how great they are. It's just as if you said, so if you want to say something is really great, really amazing, really powerful, you're going to say it three times. So it's, God isn't just holy. He isn't just holy, holy. He's holy, holy, holy. That's three times holy. And that's three is that perfect number, the Father, Son, and the Spirit. And so it just really means it's amazing. It's the official word for it is, and I like language in different words. It's a trisagion, is what that's called. When you repeat something three times, it's a trisagion. So not only do we not use hallowed much, is you probably won't say trisagion to anybody else. but it just means the perfectness of it. So, and where we find this holy, holy, holy in the Bible is in Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. And it's where Isaiah is being commissioned to become the prophet of God. And it says, I saw the Lord seated on the throne high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, and each of his six wings and two wings covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet, and with two, they were flying. That's pretty amazing. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And Isaiah said, woe to me. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people with unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs, with tongs from the altar. And when he touched it to my mouth, he said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah said, send me. Send me. And his role was to tell everybody about it and to tell everyone about it. So let us worship today in the truth that God is holy, holy, holy. Amen.
Thanks, Mike. Before we start our worship in song, I want to read Psalm 100, a psalm of giving thanks. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And let's worship him this morning in song.
Thank you. be singing it this morning. Here this morning, Lord, just that little burning in our hearts that says that we want to be in this church and we want to be here with you. We know you're here. We can feel your presence with us this morning, Lord, and we just thank you for that. We ask you to be with us in the rest of the service and just make your word what we hear in Jesus' name. Amen.
How many of you feel safe this morning? I just want to praise the Lord this morning. You know, we sit here, we take so many things for granted, and I just praise Him that we have the freedom to come into a building and praise the Lord. You know, in many countries, they can't do that freely. So we're very privileged here, so I just want to praise the Lord for that. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that we can gather together and worship you in peace, not worried about the doors crashing in, hauling us off or hauling our pastor off, Lord. We pray, Father, in that respect, Lord, that you would watch over those who do not have the peace that we have. Lord, for those living in places like Iran or China or North Korea and other places where Christians are persecuted to a great extent, Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ that you would watch over them, protect them, and give them victory. And Father, that just as Mike said, he just praises you, Lord, for the beauty of your presence, Lord. We pray, Father, that they will see your presence in their midst, even as they worship in secret, Lord. And we pray, Father, that your word will go forth powerfully and effectively, even in those closed countries. We thank you, Lord, and praise you that Our prayers have been answered, and Roger is back home. And we pray, Lord, that you will place your hand of healing upon him. Continue to heal him and stop any bleeding, and Lord, repair his wounded body, Lord. We pray for others in our midst also who have problems, Lord, as many have, like Len and Donna and Eunice and BJ and Jan Yoder and Jan Collins and Dave too, Lord, and many others, and Father, who would need your healing hand, for Diana with her knee and for, Lord, many others. We just pray for your continued presence with us and healing upon us, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for the many who have gone on before us, veterans who have fought in many wars. We thank you for the celebration of this day we call D-Day, where so many men laid down their lives knowing they were going into the thick of battle, yet doing so for the sake of others. Bless them, Lord, in their families. And bless this nation, Lord, and hold it together under our Constitution. Lord, we lift up Ellen, Grandma Ellen, to you today. Lord, they've taken her off these long-term medications, and she's under hospice care. We pray, Father, that you would place your hand of mercy upon her. And Lord, that you would make your presence known to her, that she might place her whole trust in Jesus. Be merciful to her and her family, Lord. And we pray for those who have gone astray, family members, Lord. We all have those in our family who haven't surrendered to you, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would pour out your Spirit upon those lost souls and open their hearts to be receptive to the gospel and send that message to them, Lord. And use us wherever you will to bring the message of hope into their lives. And Lord, we pray that you'll turn their hearts to Jesus for the destiny of those who won't accept you is unfathomable to the human mind. So we sincerely pray for them, Lord, that you would bring in that harvest of lost souls. Lord, as we continue before you this morning, open our hearts to be receptive to your word, Lord, and obedient to it. And we pray for Pastor Jay as he brings the message this morning, Lord, that you will fill his heart with your message and that his words will resound to our very souls, Lord. Bless us as we go out this week, and Lord, go with us and minister through us to those round about us. And we'll give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I gave Rachel a theme. She planned all kinds of music to support that theme. She did a fantastic job. And then yesterday happened. And so I'm sorry. I'm going to go a different direction. But the music was beautiful, by the way. I don't think it matters. We still had good worship today. I'm still very much thinking about the passing of Hazel. Sealander. And just the effervescent woman she was. I didn't know her that well. I met her a couple times, and then I just had a thought I should go spend some time with her, and I asked permission, and I was granted that permission. So I sat with her for about 31 minutes and asked her every question, and she said, "I'm worried about you. You're going to say my name at church. Now, you don't say my name or Janie's name at church," she said. I thought, well, I don't think you can stop me. But the reason I wanted to talk to her is because when I met her, it was kind of like the singing yesterday, and that was God singing through you, Deb, so don't worry about it. But I don't know what the words were to that song. I couldn't tell you what it was about. But I could tell you about the spirit and the attitude. It was God speaking to us and almost made me feel like going to get a third job so I could build a place that has good acoustics so we can hear that again. Wonderful worship time. But I wanted to hear more from this lady who struck me as, what struck me is, here's a 95-year-old woman who is not fading in her faith. She's growing. The scripture says the path of the righteous grows brighter day by day, and I saw that happening. And I wanted to capture it, what the secret was. That's why I wanted to meet with her. And I think the secret began with her Sunday school teacher, Dr. Chenoweth, who was a medical doctor in town. Nobody seems to remember who that was. I guess it was way before our time. I don't know. Dr. Chenoweth was a medical doctor, but also was Hazel's Sunday school teacher, and she made her class memorize chapters in the Bible and catechism types of things, and she said they don't do that these days. I don't much agree with the religion of these days. And I was struck by that entire conversation I had with her. And since the mid-70s, I've tried to read Knowing God by J.I. Packer. And I just couldn't do it. I wanted to read. I'd look at the cover. It says, "Knowing God." And I'd stare at the cover, and I'd go, "Yes, I want to know him." And I'd start reading it, and I couldn't finish it. It was so dense. It was like eating liver. It was dense. I also tried to watch the movie In Hunt of Red October, and I can't make it through that movie. I fall asleep in the first 10 minutes. But then the magic of Kindle books and having a book read to you came about. And I pushed play, and Knowing God has been read to me. And I heard some things. I suspected there was gold in those hills, and I heard some things I wish I hadn't heard because I got rebuked. Particularly, he made this point about the best way to know a man's theology is to listen to him pray. And I began to evaluate my prayer life and how shallow it was. And I knew he was right. I knew that the shallowness that I detected was that I had not been investing myself as I should in my prayer life. And I wish I hadn't heard that, but I'm glad I heard it, you know what I mean? Just like I wish I hadn't heard, Jan, I think it was your brother Tom that said that, well, I don't know who told me, one of you three siblings told me that your mother prayed for all three kids and all the grandkids and all the great-grandkids every day by name, because I don't pray for my own kids all of the time. I wish I hadn't heard that, but I'm glad I did, because I needed to hear it. You know, you just need to hear some things. We come to church to hear things so that we can have our faith expanded. So I started hearing that in that book, things that I should do to know God better. And he made mention also of the catechisms and the memory of Scripture, etc., that and the meditating on it that people don't seem to do these days. And I said amen as I heard that read to me. Then my wife sent me an article that a pastor wrote. And I started rolling around some ideas relative to that. His name is Matt Moore. He says, and hang with me here, don't get excited. He says, I think many celebrating pride. So he's talking about gay pride, right? Are celebrating that they've come to a place where they can be honest about their experience without fear. I pray God would cause every faithful church to become a place where struggling believers can be honest about their brokenness without fear. There are many Christians in our churches secretly struggling against propensities. Plural. They want to admit to others but are terrified that they would and what would happen. Many more feel they are enslaved to secret sins but are terrified to ask a pastor or a brother or sister for help. Do we carry and present ourselves in a way that makes it clear they can be honest with us without fear of us recoiling in disgust? And then I started thinking about our condition. And the title of the sermon today is Long Time Ago. There was a song that I was singing in the sanctuary yesterday as I was thinking of this. It starts, a long, long time ago, my heart was burdened within. My head bowed down in sorrow. Long, long time ago. What happened a long, long time ago? Our federal head, Adam, the first Adam, Jesus being the second Adam. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. A long time ago, one man sinned, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, because we couldn't help but sin, because he passed on an inheritance to us. We inherited what some call original sin. That is original sin. And that's where we get the doctrine, the depravity of man. And as I read that article that Ann sent me, and as I struggle with my own struggles, and as I hear about your struggles, I understand that we were all born with a condition. We were born with a condition. But it's a condition that doesn't have an excuse. It's a condition. But I'm going to give you a new way to hold that in your mind. I'm going to give you a new way to carry that forward today in a more positive way, because that you can get down in the dumps and depressed and discouraged. But there's a way in which the condition you were born in actually gives you a fellowship connection with the Lord Jesus, and I hope to share that with you. If we go to Psalm 51, Psalm 51, David had sinned against Bathsheba, against her husband Uriah, against the Lord. He begins his lament, his repentance, in Psalm 51. I want to start in verse 1, honey. I'm sorry I gave you the wrong starting point. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Now, you read that on the surface, and you're thinking, yeah, but what about Bathsheba? He sinned against her. And what about Uriah, her husband? He killed him. But what he was saying is, at bottom, at the core, at the base of things, I sinned against you. Because sin only has two origins, pride or unbelief. And if I sin because of pride, it's because I haven't been humble before God, so I'm sinning against God. If I sin because I didn't believe, I'm sinning to not believe. And so I'm sinning against God. Of course I sin against the people that I violated in the case of David. But Lord, I know that at the very foundation of it, that if I had not been sinning against you, I couldn't possibly have hurt Bathsheba, and I couldn't possibly have killed Uriah, but for that, the fact that I was sinning against you. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. How is that so? Because the sin nature came into being because of the sin of Adam, and I was born. He was not trying to malign his mother, that somehow it was sinful that she had children. He was just hearkening back to the beginning, the source of where the sin came from. The taproots are poison. The fountain of my existence is sinful, and so the springs that flow out from it are sinful. I am not a sinner because I sin. I sin because I'm a sinner. At the core of me, that's who I am. So he's making this confession. So he's not trying to, as some would construe it, and some, yes, in the pride movement, and some in the other movements, would seek to say, well, I was born this way as a precursor to making an excuse. And like I said from the outset, you were born with a condition, but not with an excuse. The condition, it just needs to be recognized. I'm a sinner. And what am I going to do with that? How am I to hold that? How am I to keep that in perspective? How am I to hold it? You know, we're supposed to, as I said yesterday at the funeral, take up our cross. And this is the hopeful part that I promised you. And follow him. So instead of looking at your propensities, whatever they are to sin, as this enemy that one day I'm going to defeat, I'd like to suggest to you that you look at your propensities to whatever sin you have a propensity for, as a cross that you're bearing. Because we were born with our sexuality. David was born that way. I was born that way, so were you. And I want you to look at that as a cross. I was born this way. But Lord, I want, and manage it as a cross. And as you're carrying this cross, that is the obligation you have to live in holiness with respect to your sexuality. As you carry this cross, I want you to think of Jesus as he was climbing up Mount Balboa, as he was Golgotha, rather, Balboa. That's Rocky, isn't it? as he's going up Golgotha, he's feeling this cross. And every step he takes, the full weight of it's on him, and he's sweating, and there's a stinging sensation from all the whipping that he incurred before he started climbing Golgotha's hill. And I want you to think of that, Lord, every time that temptation comes, every time it flashes in front of you, every time you have to say no to it so you can say yes to walking away. Think of the every step then that your Savior was taking, climbing up that hill. And then just say, Jesus, thank you that you're walking with me. I know you carried your cross. You said, if any man comes after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross. And one of the things that's on your cross is the management of your sexuality. That's your cross from now until you die. From now until your humanity ceases. Carry that cross. I'm not saying to fall in love with it. I'm saying for you to recognize it's going to always be with you. You sin because you're a sinner. But he said, walk with me. And he said that I'm able to help you. In that he was tempted, as we said yesterday, also in all ways like as we are, yet without sin. So he's able to help. Hebrews 2:18, succor, it says, those who are tempted. He understands it. Do you not think that Paul, when he said, I see then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me? Do you think for a minute that one of the things that he called evil was not that he had a temptation to sin sexually? Are you kidding me? I know he did. He never said it, but you know how I know it? Because he's a man. And if he was a woman, I'd say the same thing. You know how I know that? Because she's a woman. You're here. That's how we know. That's how we know. I want you to see a prayer. David's last prayer. It's in 1 Chronicles. The last chapter of 1 Chronicles. First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14 through 19. But who am I? So David's knowing he's on the way out. He's going the way of man, as they say. So he's going to pray. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you, and sojourn as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. Verse 16, O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand, and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts towards you. Here's a new prayer for you, to pray for that wayward child, whoever that was mentioning that earlier, or for that colleague, or for that friend, or for that neighbor. The prayer that David offered, grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart. In the psalm, David said, give me a new heart. But he says here, David, Grant my son a whole heart that he may keep your commandments. Father, enlarge his heart. Cause him to want to. Cause him to keep these things in his mind. Direct his heart towards carrying out righteous living. So he might keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the place for which I have made provision. Pray that for your son. Pray that for your daughter. Pray that for your next door neighbor. Lord, give them a heart that they don't have to carry it forward. Direct their attention towards it. Break their hearts to understand that they're going to live eternally. In this book, Knowing God, he said, and the final thing I'll mention that struck me was, he said, you were designed. We were designed to seek God. We were designed to seek God. And we made reference, I'm sorry, yesterday about this as well, Acts chapter 17. It says that he set the bounds, God did, of our habitation and the times that we would live in so that we would happily seek after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us. He's near. And then he said, so any day that you wake up, and it is not your number one priority to seek to know more of God and thereby draw closer to him, is a wasted day. And how many days has Pastor Jay wasted? More than I'm going to admit to you this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, for your care for us, and for this open book test. I pray that you give us a heart to seek you, and that you give us a whole heart, like David prayed for Solomon. In Jesus' name, amen. And guess what happened? Did Solomon follow through? No, he gathered to himself many wives and began to worship their gods. Sometimes that prayer doesn't get answered, but it's a prayer nonetheless that should be prayed. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. We've gathered here today also to have communion. And so I'd like if the gentleman would come. Would you bless the bread?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another glorious day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for sending your Son to live among us, Lord, to suffer and to die on the cross as his body was nailed to the cross, Lord, for us. But we give praise and eternal thanks, Lord, that he rose from the dead after 3 days as he said he would, and that he continues to live today, and that all we need to do is to believe in him and to trust in him, Lord, and we too will have eternal life. And for that, we give thanks. In thy name we pray. Amen.
And Art, please bless the cup, please.
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we realize more and more our own sinfulness and the fact that we could do nothing to save ourselves, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being willing to shed your blood on our behalf, Lord, and to pay the price for our sins, that we may live with you one day. We thank you and praise you, Lord, and ask that you continue to work in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now that we've had communion and celebrated his life, his death, his burial, resurrection, let's sing about Let Us Break Bread Together.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break.
pray. Father, we thank you so much for the time we spent together here this morning, worshiping you, praising you. Father, we just pray that our faith does not fade. We just pray that we remain strong with our walk with you, that our prayer life might be sincere and meaningful, and as we look to you for guidance in our lives, and we just pray so much that our lives will reflect you, and that people will see Christ in us. Father, we're all sinners here. Father, cleanse us. We thank you for this time of communion where we can reflect on our past and ask for cleansing of our sins and humble us before you and help us, Father, as we each carry our own cross, and that you might be holy, holy, holy in our lives. Then again, we thank you so much for the time we spent in remembrance of you this morning. We thank you for that we could break the bread together and drink the cup and praise you this morning. Bring us to our knees in front of you, and we pray that as we go from here, Lord, that will be a light shining in darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.